that's distinct. We've been talking here just more recently as we work through this series on the distinctiveness of Christians. And he's been talking about this idea of hypocrisy. This idea of wanting others to see me differently than I actually am. And that's what the temptation of the Pharisees were. The Lord had many very harsh things to say to the Pharisees because they were living in such a way as to try to make people think that they were super spiritual. But inside, their hearts were dark and their hearts were sinful. And I think what he's chastening us to come to is that we have that same tendency. We have that same inclination. We're moved to try to convince people about who we are that's different from who we really are. In fact, I would suggest that extends even to the way we think and treat and talk to ourselves. That I am many times trying to convince myself that I'm something I'm not. By the way I live, by the way I speak. And the Lord comes along and he says, no, listen, you are different, but you're different in Christ. And you're distinct, but you're distinct in Christ. And so as we continue on this morning, we're going to be talking about the heart of fasting. We're going to be looking particularly at Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. As we talk about this, we need to talk about fasting. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but actually fasting is actually become a bit of a fad in our current kind of diet culture. If you go online and you ask or you just query Google on fasting, you'll come up with this new intermittent fasting idea. Have you heard of intermittent fasting? There are all these plans out there for intermittent fasting. The 2-24 plan or the 5-8 plan or all of these different ways that you can incorporate. And the purpose of fasting in these plans, it's weight loss is a part of it, but they would also, in fact, I was reading an article, they were giving 10 reasons why you should fast intermittently. And they all had to do with things like, you know, improved mental capacity and reduction of long-term diseases like cancer or diabetes or other things. But maybe, I don't know, I'm not here this morning to talk about the physical benefits of fasting, but I am here to talk about what Jesus says about fasting, what the Scriptures have to say, and why we as believers are actually called to fast. But we ought to think about the heart of fasting so that when we enter into this, we're doing it in a way that is actually honoring to the Lord and not the way the Pharisees did it. And we'll see more about that. I would say this is probably a subject that we current evangelical Christians, we just don't really address it. We don't really talk much about it in the context of Christianity and in the context of living out our faith as a discipline of faith. Now, we might talk about it in health circles. We might talk about intermittent fasting and the benefits there. But when it comes to fasting for the purposes of spiritual benefit, we don't practice it. And when we don't talk about it, and I think it's to the detriment of the church. And I think if we understand more deeply what the Lord is wanting us to do, what He's calling us to in fasting, and if we then think about how we can implement this in our lives, I think that the Lord can bring amazing blessing to you and me. And we'll talk more about some things not to do with fasting, but let's work through this together. And I hope to have our hearts opened to maybe something that you've not done, maybe something that this might be new to you. So as we're working through this, let's first read the passage together. Follow along while I read Matthew 16 through 18. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men. Truly, noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Let's pray. Father, we want to come before you and acknowledge that we are ultimately and absolutely dependent upon you to even understand the heart of your word. Lord, we can understand the words, we can understand the concepts, but for these things to transform us, for these things to fundamentally shape us, Lord, that's your work. And so I pray, Lord, this morning that as we work through this together, that you would encourage us, that you would convict us where necessary, that you would help us, Lord, to grow in a deeper understanding of your word so that we might reflect your glory in this world. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are some questions that we need to ask before we jump into the heart of this. First of all, we do need to ask the question, what is fasting? From a biblical perspective, what is fasting? And I would suggest this. Fasting is at least these two things. Number one, fasting is a deliberate abstinence from food for a spiritual purpose. Fasting is a deliberate abstinence from food for a spiritual purpose. You know, you might find yourself in times where you're not eating, but you're not eating because you have an appointment in the morning where you're going to get tests and they told you don't eat tonight, right? That's not fasting from a biblical perspective, right? That is fasting, but it isn't biblical fasting. You may go through a period of time of not eating because you're just busy and you forgot to eat, okay? That's not fasting, right? So let's be clear. This is a deliberate choice that I am making to abstain from food for a spiritual purpose. Now, we see this in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. We see that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. So even the Lord himself fasted. The Spirit of God led him out. And Jesus deliberately, intentionally did not eat food for 40 days and 40 nights. And obviously, he became hungry. So that's what fasting is. Secondly, fasting is the practice of focused self-denial for a spiritual purpose. Fasting is the practice of focused self-denial for a spiritual purpose. Let me unpack that for just a moment. When I say focused self-denial. Now, we've been talking about abstinence from food. And when the scriptures talk about fasting, that is almost exclusively where it locates fasting. In fact, the idea of fasting, that word fasting, is always connected to food. But that's not the only kind of fasting that can be done. And we'll talk about one example here in just a moment. But it is certainly a focused self-denial. So I'm going to deny myself something intentionally and particularly for a spiritual purpose, you see. And let me give you one example of that from the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 7:5, it says, this is spoken to husband and wives. It says, stop depriving one another. And this is speaking about the intimate relationship between a husband and wife. We can leave that there for now. I think you all know what we're talking about. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement, for a time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Do you see what we have here is a couple intentionally determining to deny themselves in a focused way for spiritual benefit. Now, fasting is almost always connected to prayer in the Bible. When we fast, it is natural that while we're fasting, we're praying. Now, we're going to talk more about this. It's not necessarily that you're praying all of the time that you're fasting, but there will be inclinations and there will be actually helps for you to pray in the middle of that self-denial. Now, I bring this up because there are some, and we're going to talk primarily this morning about fasting from food, because again, that's where the Bible primarily goes. But I do recognize that there are some where that's not possible. Medically speaking, there are those who cannot fast from food. Otherwise, there will be serious medical issues and complications. And so, what do you do then? If you can't, can you not fast? Well, actually, you can. You can, if you understand, and if we go back to that, fasting, if you understand that as a focused self-denial for spiritual purposes, then you can fast. In fact, I would suggest that while I think there is amazing benefit to fasting from food, and we'll talk about that primarily, there is also great benefit, spiritually speaking, from fasting from other things. For example, I think in our culture, one of the things that we could have focused self-denial in the area of media. Whether it be social media or TV
or whatever it is that you engage in, to deliberately, intentionally say, I am going to deny myself engagement in this thing that I enjoy for a period of time for spiritual purposes. So, for example, rather than spending this evening watching that television show that I really enjoy so much, I am going to turn the television off, get my Bible out, and spend some time meditating and praying and spending time in the presence of the Lord. You could do this with any number of things that are their desires of yours. You know, even if you can't fast from food, all of us have things in that arena of food that are indulgent to us, and we can deny ourselves that thing. Here's another example of this. I can speak to myself here. I love coffee. Coffee in the morning is a wonderful thing, even just the aroma of it. But I don't need coffee. Now, I might think I do, right? But I'm not medically in need of coffee, and I would suggest no one is. And if you are one of those people, if you don't have coffee in the morning and you were like, you know, get that headache and you're like out of control, you might want to stop and think about your dependence upon coffee. Okay? But you're not really in need, and you could choose to deny yourself that for the purposes of spiritual benefit. Okay, that's what fasting is. By the way, so why fast? Why fast? So what is fasting? Why fast? Well, first of all, to focus your heart on your dependence. We have a lot of different reasons for fasting, as we've already talked about. But even within the evangelical community, there are lots of different reasons for fasting. And as we'll talk here in a minute, a little bit later, some of those reasons are to get something from God, right? I'm going to get something from Him, so I'm going to fast. Well, we'll talk more about that, but these are the real, this is the heart of fasting. Why fast? Let's get down to the heart of this. Number one, to focus your heart on dependence. Matthew 4:22-4 again. And after He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He became hungry. And the tempter came and said to Him, if You are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus, in the desert, fasted for 40 days, and it reminded Him in that period of time, as He was fasting, it reminded Him that He was dependent in His humanity upon God. You see, I think sometimes we forget that Jesus submitted Himself to the Father. When Jesus took on humanity, He took on what it meant to be human. He had all of your and my humanity and all of its corresponding effects. And so when He didn't eat, He got hungry, and that hunger led Him to an understanding that He was dependent upon the Father. In fact, He quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, where that passage says this, He humbled you. Now, this passage is speaking to the nation of Israel, and specifically with respect to their hunger in the desert and God's provision of manna to them. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's interesting that Jesus, in fasting, goes to this passage in reference to the devil. When the devil comes along and says, you're hungry, you need food. Jesus didn't say, no, I don't need food. He was hungry. He did need food. But what He said was, I am a dependent creature, dependent upon food, and my body needs that. But what I need more, what I am ultimately dependent upon, is God Himself and His Word. And that's what the Lord was doing to the people in Israel. And He led them out. And they went through a period of time where they were starting to go without food, and they were crying out to God. And the Lord said, I needed to humble you. Let you be hungry. And then I would feed you with my food, my manna, so that you would know your dependence upon me. So how does this play out practically? Well, hunger pangs tell you that you depend on food, right? When you haven't eaten You go for a period of time, your body reacts to that, doesn't it? You get these pangs in your stomach. And those pangs are God's way of telling you, you need to eat. You actually do need to eat. You are dependent upon that food. And if you don't eat, you're eventually going to die. And your body is telling you of that need. But intentional fasting serves to remind you that you depend on Christ more. So when I'm fasting, or when we fast, when you experience that hunger, it reminds me I need food. But I use it for spiritual purposes when that pang comes, to remind my heart, to preach to myself, I need Jesus more. Yes, I need food. Yes, I am dependent, but I am dependent on Jesus more. So, by the way, fasting in any arena should, if you sin ways that remind you of these kinds of things that chasten your heart and turn you back to Christ, as we'll see. So secondly, we fast to focus your heart on your weakness. To focus your heart on your weakness. You know, there's a story in 1 Samuel. Before we read that passage, let me give the context of it. King Saul, they were in battle against the Philistines, and he was leading his army, and they were having some success. So King Saul issued this universal decree, no one eats anything until we've won the victory. So no food, and he actually said it with an oath of death for anyone that would eat. And so Jonathan, his son, hadn't heard this decree. And they're out fighting, and Jonathan comes across a honeycomb with honey in it. And he takes his staff and he dips it in the honeycomb and he eats the honey from it. And the scriptures say that his eyes brightened. And it's in that context that we see this passage. This is a gentleman responding to Jonathan. He says, then one of the people answered and said, your father strictly put the people under oath, saying, cursed be the man who eats food today. And the people were weary. Well, why were they weary? Why did Jonathan, when he took that honey, why did his eyes brighten? Because without food, you become weak. If you don't eat, your body doesn't have the fuel that you need to keep going. You will become weak. Can you imagine, physically speaking, how weak Jesus was after 40 days and 40 nights not eating? Physically weak. But you see, fasting chastens my heart and reminds me that I am weak. I need to know that I'm weak. I need to know that I need. And so when I feel that hunger, or more specifically, when I feel the weakness associated with not eating, I can say, oh, Lord, I'm really weak right now. But you are my strength. You are my strength. The weakness that results from hunger can be a powerful reminder of your human inability. The weakness that results from hunger can be a powerful reminder of your human inability. We live in a day where we consider ourselves to be fairly invulnerable. I mean, there are things that kind of crash into our lives from time to time. But you look around, I mean, look at the medical technologies that we have. Look at the safety features we have in our vehicles. Look at the security that we have. And I think for the most part, we live life pretty much thinking we've got this. We can handle this. Now, as I said, life crashes into that very, very profoundly in many cases. But we need to be reminded very often that we're weak and in need. And thirdly, we fast because it turns our heart to Jesus. Fasting, if it's done correctly, fasting for, in the biblical understanding of fasting, its purpose is to turn my heart to Jesus. Jesus says in John 6, 48 through 51, he says this, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus came into the world and he gave his life. He gave his flesh. And that means that he took on humanity and that he lived for us and he died for us. He gave himself fully to us. And he's saying, listen, yeah, God provided those people in the desert food to eat. He showed them that he humbled them and he showed them they were dependent upon him. But what they ultimately needed was me. I am the bread of life. And there's nothing, I think, more powerful for a believer to deny him or herself food so that when that hunger comes, we can remember this truth. Jesus is the bread of life. Because I'm telling you, when you are hungry, and you, I know that you've all been hungry at some point, and you walk by some food. You see maybe some bread lying there. Maybe somebody made some homemade bread, and you know that smell, and you're like, oh, that's just, oh, and you really want that bread. But when you're fasting and you walk by that, and that smell comes to you, and you say, I really want that bread, but Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is so much sweeter, so much better than that. And honestly, there are a few ways in the Christian life to truly experience that apart from fasting. Again, I know that there are some that we can't, but most of us can. We're not talking about 40 days and 40 nights. Most of us probably can't do that. That was supernatural. Lord may empower you. And I think there are some people out there that do that. They go, I'm going to fast 40 days and 40 nights. And it's more of what the Pharisees, we're going to talk about them here in a few minutes. It's more about that kind of being super spiritual kind of idea. Listen, no, don't go down that path. But my bet is that the overwhelming majority of us could choose to go without breakfast in the morning. The overwhelming majority of us could skip lunch or dinner. We could do enough to feel hungry, to feel that we need, and allow that to turn our hearts to Jesus. And remember, Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life, and I need you. There's one last thing, and I put this, well, let me say this, I guess. When you fast and you're hungry, turn your heart to Jesus, the bread of life. When you fast, by the way, Jesus says, when you fast. It doesn't say if you fast, but rather when you fast. One more thing I want to say about this. The Bible never tells us how often to fast. In the Old Testament, they had one fast per year. They had the fast that they would engage in at the Year of Atonement. But we see the culture, they fasted more than that. In fact, one of the Pharisees says, I fast twice a week. So they had more fasts that they did. The Bible doesn't specify that for you. Bible doesn't come along and say you should fast once a week or once a month or once a year. It doesn't do that. It doesn't tell you how long you should fast. It doesn't give you those details. It lets you before the Lord sort all of that out and you determine all that. But what it does say is when you fast, when you deny yourself, and that leads us to this point, because fasting, we fast to discipline your heart for obedience. To discipline your heart for obedience. Let's look at the scripture. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you know, this is Paul writing, do you know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. What is Paul talking about here? He's talking about the games that they experienced in Rome, the athletic events and these people that would train for running and for boxing and wrestling and all of these various events. It would be akin to our Olympics or other national games that we would have where people gather and they, well, what do those athletes do in preparation? Do they not deny themselves? And do they not deny themselves food? They do. You see, they will say, I can't eat this and I can't eat that. I would really love to have that pizza, but I'm not going to have that pizza because that's not good for me and it will encumber me in my race. So, Paul is just using an example of self-denial, of saying no to himself, to his body, in order to help him to bring it in subjection under God. Listen, we live in a culture today where, oh my, we just never have to say no to ourselves, do we? We live in a culture where it's just, there's just no compelling reason to say no to yourself. We have everything we need at our fingertips. We are not at risk of going hungry. I know it would take some cataclysmic event for us not to have food at Hy-Vee when we want to go get it, or at Walmart. Most of us have food enough in our homes where when we really come down to it, we go for weeks and have food to eat. Might not be what you want to eat, but you have food. Where are we saying no to ourselves? In what arenas are in your life are you intentionally choosing to say no to yourself? The indulgences of this world. Listen, there are all kinds of temptations for you and me in this world, aren't there? All kinds of temptations for us to engage in, even in immorality, and engage in things that we know to be wrong. But we live in a day where we find it amazingly difficult to say to ourselves, no, I'm not going to. And fasting helps us to learn how to say no to yourself. Because when you want to eat, when you are moved to eat, you will be tempted, I guarantee you, to say, you know, maybe this was enough. Maybe the resolution I made in my heart before I entered this, maybe I was off on what that should be, and I'm going to change my mind now. And there's that temptation comes in to say, well, you know, maybe you can have just a little. Or the practice of saying no to yourself for the purposes of saying yes to Jesus is powerful. And it has effects in your and my life well beyond just not eating. It plays itself out in overcoming temptation. And might I suggest that perhaps as a culture, as an evangelical world today, one of the reasons we struggle so much with sexual sin and other things like this is because we have lost the practice of intentional self-denial, particularly with food, in order to grow spiritually and to chasten our own hearts in turning to Jesus. I would encourage us to think about these things and ask, can we together practice these things? Now, we need to talk about for whom you should fast. And that's an interesting question because we want to talk about, you know, how to fast and that kind of thing. But I think the bigger question is, for whom should you fast? Because that's what Jesus does in our passage this morning. You see, first of all, he says you don't fast for others. For whom should you fast? Not for others. We see that in that passage in Matthew 6. Back to our passage in 16:18. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Did you see their purpose? So that they will be noticed by men. And this is it for those who fast, if you have fasted, or for those that do, this is a temptation. It is a temptation to let people know, I'm fasting. Now the Pharisees, what they were doing is they would actually kind of dress themselves and they would physically do things to their appearance so that when they went out into public, people would know. They would go by and go, "Wow, what's wrong with you? Oh, well, I'm fasting." You see? "Oh man, your face is just sunken in and the eyes, are you okay?" "Oh no, 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 I'm just fasting." Well, who are they fasting for? They're fasting for everybody else. They're fasting in right way. Their heart isn't chastened. Their heart isn't turned to Christ. They're fasting so that everyone else sees them. And we'll do this. We'll be tempted to anyway. Because if we choose to do this and somebody offers you food, "Well, here, hey, you've got this food." "Oh, no, 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 I can't have that right now. I'm fasting." Well, why not just say, "No, thank you"? Well, because the inclination of our heart is we want everybody else to know. But we don't fast for other people. You don't fast for yourself. You don't fast for yourself. "Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." What does Jesus mean? They have their reward in full. All that they're expecting to get from this experience, they're getting. Because what they really want out of this is the accolade, the feedback to say, "Oh wow, aren't you super spiritual?" And they're getting it. In as much as they share with other people, and as much as other people, oh, they walk around and they look and they make it clear, and then their friends and others say, "Wow, isn't she spiritual?" And they have their reward in full. They get all the recognition that they're going to get. Oh, but how long does that last? How long does that last? Don't fast for yourself. Fasting is not a more effective way to activate the Jesus genie. Some people take fasting in this way. They fast for themselves. In other words, "I want something, Jesus. And so I know I want this thing to happen. And so I'm going to fast, Jesus, so you give me this thing. I want healing. I want a job. I want whatever it is. I want. And so, Lord, I'm going to fast so that you give me that." You see, that's just a Jesus genie. That just rub the magic jar and he comes out and he grants you your three wishes. Please, this isn't how we use fasting. It's not for me in that regard. It's not so that I can get from him. Fasting at its core is so that I turn to him. Fasting at its core is so my heart is chastened by him. It's that I get something. Now that, please don't misunderstand me. When we're going through difficult times, when somebody in our life is going through a difficult time, might it be good to fast? Yes. The people, when Esther, think back when Esther was faced with having to go before the king, and she didn't know whether the king would grant her an audience or have her executed. What did she do? She cried out to Mordecai, and she said to Mordecai, "Go have the people fast on my behalf. Have them pray on my behalf." So we can fast for people. We can fast for things, but you see, even in that, what are we really doing though? I'm not saying, "God, if I fast, then you're going to..." That's not what I'm doing. I'm chastening my heart once again to say, "Lord, here's a really dire circumstance for me or for that other person or for us as a church or for our nation. We're going through this really difficult thing. And Lord, I want to once again confess to you by what I do, what I deny myself, that I and we are dependent upon you. And we are weak without you. And we are in need of Jesus alone, and only you can help." We don't fast for others, we don't fast for ourselves in that sense. We fast for the Lord. We fast for him. Jesus says, "But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you, so that your fasting will be noticed by your Father." This isn't because God the Father, he needs you to fast. That's not what that's about. But he's pleased when we as his people acknowledge our dependence upon him and our weakness, and when we turn to him. Like a father, he is our father, and like a father with a child, when that child turns to dad and says, "Dad, help, I need you." There's something about that warms the father's heart to know that child loves him and needs him. And how much greater the Heavenly Father, who is the creator and sustainer of all, when we cry out to him, it pleases him. And so we do it to please him, not to gain from him, not to get stuff from him, but to please him as children would please a parent. And finally, for yourself. Well, wait a minute, Kelly, you said not for yourself. Well, yes, that's right. But there is a sense in which you do fast for yourself. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face so that your fasting would be noticed, not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret, your Father will reward you. You see, Jesus doesn't shy away from motivating us with a reward. He doesn't shy away from saying, listen, your Father will be pleased and he'll reward you. And so in this sense, we do fast for ourselves, but what is the reward? See, here's where we need to be careful, because the reward isn't the answer that I want for my prayer. The reward isn't the thing that I'm looking for. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about the reward of approval from the Father. We long to be approved of. You know, we fight for approval from one another all the time, don't we? We fear man and what they think of us, and I want you to like me. I want you to approve of me. And so we're fighting all the time for approval of man. God created us to seek for approval, but he created us to seek for his approval. And rather than seeking for the approval of all those other people who say, "Wow, Kelly, aren't you spiritual? You're fasting." Rather than that, what my heart desires is approval from God, my Father, approval from Christ to say, "Kelly, I love you. Well done." And that, when I do that for me, is good. So fasting isn't for you, but it is for you. You see? It's not for others, but it is for others. And it ultimately is for the kingdom and its advance and for our acknowledgement and recognition of God's work in our lives. So let me ask you this final question as we wrap this up. What is it that really keeps you from fasting? I struggle with this too, so please don't hear me saying up here that I've got this all figured out, and I wrestle with this. It's hard to fast. And the older I've gotten, the harder it is. Because frankly, physically speaking, you know, when you're young, you could go without food for longer. But when you get older, it's, I don't know. There's just something happens. Maybe it's, well, yeah. It doesn't matter how old you are. This is hard. It's hard to deny yourself. But you may have said, "Well, I can't fast. That's not an option for me." But I think that what the Lord wants you to do this morning is I think he wants you to take a step back and say, what is it really deep in the heart that keeps you from fasting? What is it really? And are there ways, if you set your mind on this and got before the Lord and said, "Lord, help me," are there ways in which you can do this? Maybe it won't be a day without food. But are there ways that you can intentionally, deliberately deny yourself of food or some other significant thing for spiritual good in your life? I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage us as a church to do that. Because, man, it turns our heart to Jesus. And there's nothing greater in this world than to behold the glory of Jesus. There is no sweeter thing in this life than to see the beauty and the majesty of Jesus. In anything that will turn my heart to Him, and I'm all for it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the goodness of Your grace. Lord, we thank You so much for the kindness that You extend to us. Lord, we thank You for Your teaching, that it chastens our hearts. It disciplines us. It encourages us. It corrects us. Father, I pray that You would chasten our hearts. Help us, Lord, to understand, to grow. And Lord, I pray that You'd move us to be a people that pray, to be a people who fast. But Lord, may the reasons that we do that be good. May our hearts be in line with Your will. And Lord, may we do Your will as it's done in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the opportunity to share in communion.